Welcome to No Longer Conformed. I'm Eric Garthy, and we are studying You Are Secure. Know Who You Are in Christ Jesus, Part 2. Based on Your Identity in Christ by Neil T. Anderson. In this session, we'll be looking at Romans chapter 8, verses 24 to 30. Know that all things work for good. Let's read our text, Romans chapter 8, verses 24 to 30. For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope, for why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. For whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He predestined, He also called. And whom He called, He also justified. And whom He justified, these He also glorified. How do you decide what is a good thing? We really don't know what is good for us. God can work through anything. That means what is good for us is what God wills for us. That in all things, even the most terrible experiences, good can come out of it. For whom? Those who love God. Not just anyone, those who love God. Verses 26 to 28 again. Paul is completing a thought here. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now He who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. Do you know where that thought began? You got to go all the way back to chapter 5, verses 3 through 5. Where Paul says, and not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope, and hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Notice three words there in verse 3. Glory, which means an intensified joy. Tribulation means to be under pressure. And perseverance, which means to remain under pressure. We are to stay under the pressures of life. We are to express great joy within the pressure. Why? I mean, Paul must be crazy in saying this. Well, listen to the Apostle James in his letter in chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. What is God trying to accomplish in us? Well, Romans chapter 5, again, verse 3, the second part of it in verse 4. Knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character, hope. Character. This is the only way to develop character. The basis of hope is through the development of Christ-like character. There are no shortcuts with God, but man tries. A marriage seems hopeless, change spouses. A job is hopelessly miserable, change jobs. A church is having problems, switch churches. Running from difficult situation is not God's plan. He wants you to hang in there and grow. Many of God's greatest works come out of the heat of adversity and heartache. He makes believers stronger through trials. The Christian's hope results from Christ-like character. Favorable circumstances will eventually disappoint, but proven character will never let you down. God never promised things would turn out as we would like. The only guarantee is that you can come out a better person. The refiner's fire. I always like to talk about, you know, the refiner's fire is the purifying of precious metals, where they're heated up and the impurities will rise to the top and they can be removed and they're refined again and more impurities, and they're refined as much as seven times, and each time hotter, and it takes out more and more impurities by the more heat. When I was in high school in a boarding school, we had a print shop, and I worked in the print shop. And I remember my experience with molten lead, because we had this casting machine which would make each one of the letters of a document that was typed. It was typed on a teletype, and it would punch a tape, and then the tape would be placed into the casting machine, and as it was played through there, it would produce the letters for the articles. When we finished printing the papers or the magazine or the document, we would take all of that lead that had the ink on it, and we would drop it into a kind of a bucket canister on the side of the casting machine, and it would be heated up and just melted, completely melted, and all of the ink would float to the top, and we would use a strainer and scrape out all of that ink, and then that lead would be pure lead again, and we would use it again for casting more articles. I remember that. You see, it's easy to be a summertime Christian or to be a sunshine saint. What about the dark clouds and the cold winds of life? What about defeat when it comes? What about disappointments when they arrive? What about the crises that will come? Those are the times we're called to be soldiers of the cross. And the Lord tells us to have great joy doing them. What's the basis of God's plan for us? His foreknowledge of us. He knew us from the foundation of the world. He predestined us to be conformed to the likeness of Jesus. How? Divine election, some say. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. Personal choice, others say. Romans chapter 10, verse 13. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Someone wrote about divine sovereignty versus human responsibility with this illustration. When you pass through the gate into eternal life, you will see written on the outside, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. on the inside of the gate, it will read, "You were known from the foundation of the world." Some things are beyond our human comprehension. What is the purpose of God's plan for us? Character. Romans chapter 8, verses 28 and 29. "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. For whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren." The all things of Romans 8:28, experiences we view as good, experiences we view as bad, are God's instruments to develop Christ-like character. Sort of like pearls forming in oysters. Do you know how pearls are formed in an oyster? Well, a grain, a single grain of sand can get through inside the shell of an oyster. And it begins, its presence begins to irritate the oyster. And so the oyster secretes a liquid which covers that grain of sand. Well, the problem is the grain of sand doesn't go away, but now it's bigger because of the coating. And so in the way that God made them, the oyster continues to deal with that grain of sand, which now is larger. And so they coat it another time. And this process keeps happening. Irritation, reaction, coating. Irritation, reaction, coating. And eventually, that grain of sand becomes a pearl through those many layers of coating. And however long, how much time goes by before that oyster is caught and that pearl is taken out, determines how big the pearl will be when it comes out. When testing comes, we may be knocked around, but the rough edges get taken off of our lives. The friction of trials can bring wonderful qualities to the surface of our lives. Believers who understand this will be able to face life's tough times. Romans chapter 8, verses 24 and 25. "For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance." Hope is not wishful thinking. Biblical hope is the assurance of God's plan for us now and the future hope of eternal life. You think about all that, and you have a great day.